Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
My next guest has written a recent article that compares running an SME in the countryside to being a contest, to being equivalent to being a contestant on a Squid Game, where they struggle to survive. Are things really that dire for businesses in rural Ireland? And what can be done to change things? Stuart Fitzgerald, he runs an accountancy business in Waterford called Fitzgerald Power. He's also a strategy columnist with The Currency, and he writes for them regularly. And it was his article that caught my attention. Stuart, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Bobby. Great to be here.
Just reading through the article that caught my eye, you painted a really nice picture of a village in West Cork, where you were talking about your experience in a chemist, in a pub, in a supermarket, and it was all really positive. But then you said that you walked between the places, you saw empty buildings, you saw dereliction. Just give us your own assessment of where you think rural Ireland is actually at the moment.
So those businesses are part and parcel of the fabric of rural society. And like, they're a place for people to meet, they provide employment, and they're just a very central part of what it is to be Irish, I think, and to live in Ireland. And they were great businesses, and they were all, like, they were trying really, really hard. I was in a restaurant as well, and they were just doing a brilliant job. But it's getting really, really difficult for them, because the increasing, the sort of never-ending increase in costs and the cost of doing business are making it really difficult for those single unit operators. And
right.
I think what we're moving towards, in my opinion, is probably a big business economy, where the only way that that you can do business is economies of scale, and having, if you're in retail or in hospitality, having multiple units. And that's okay in big urban centres, but I'm not sure that in the likes of this, the rural village that I was in that weekend, that those businesses would have a future.
Yeah. You're an accountant. You understand, you know, the maths around business. And one of the things that often perplexes me is you hear talk about, you know, you got to pay people, you know, a living wage, and you've got to, people have to have so much sick pay, and they need, you know, all these benefits. But those costs, and, you know, and there are many others, but those costs, you know, they end up on the customer's plate, whether one chooses to or not. And so you've got this voice saying, yeah, pay everybody X, you know, but we want, you know, to get a steak for €10.
Well, exactly. So there, it's incongruous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think a lot of those policies are well-intentioned. Like, you can understand where they're coming from. But two things. Like, first of all, did you see John Brennan's interview in the Times recently where he said, the hotelier, where he said, a burger might cost €22, but 40% of it is going on labour.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and there's only so much the customer will bear, right? So at a certain point, the customer just decides, I'm not going to frequent a hospitality venue, or I'm not going to go out to the local pub. And I just think those businesses are really, really fragile at the moment. But if you look at the way those policies are probably constructed, you're taking a bucket for the overall working population of Ireland. You have the FDI community, you have the public service, and then you have the SME market. And it's not comparable. I mean, it's not the same. You know, taking a basket and an average just isn't the same.
No, I get that. But if we look at the way that, as consumers, the change that there has been in consumer behaviour, the shopping online, the way we consume things, and maybe business, a lot of business in rural Ireland has struggled to change to meet the way the consumer now lives. And I'm not saying that's anybody's fault, but there is a disconnect between traditional business and how it was done, walking into the shop, handing over your money over the counter, you know, maybe driving in from 10 miles out the road or whatever it was, to this, I want it now, I want it online, it's delivered to my door, and I never have to speak to anybody.
You're so right. As I mentioned in the piece, one of the things I noticed was that there were scars around the village of other businesses that hadn't moved with the last consumer trend, and I totally agree with you. I thought the Super Value I was in was a great example of a business that had modernised, it was well invested, and you can see all the multi-channel stuff that they do. But I think I think for lots of those businesses, maybe they just won't be able to move with what the consumer demands, and maybe they just won't have a future. And maybe that's the way it has to be. I don't really know. I mean, they're big questions, but I think there's a fragility in rural Ireland. The businesses that are operating in those locations, the more we layer costs on top of them, the more likely they are to
fold.
To fail. Yeah, for sure. To fail, yeah.
One of the things I wanted to say to you was that, you know, just if we stand back from, we talk about the way we consume things, but the way we work has also changed.
It's true.
And I would have thought that the work from home thing particularly should have been a big opportunity for rural places in Ireland. In other words, if I was lucky enough to be in a job that I didn't have to be there in situ every day, maybe I could live in West Cork and go to Dublin twice a month and do my business from my desk, looking out across Skull Harbour or whatever it was. And
you're making the sound appealing.
Well, you know, it is appealing. But now, not, I totally accept that it doesn't suit every job, but I would have thought that rural Ireland would have got a greater bounce out of that concept than it actually seems to have gotten.
You're not wrong. Conceptually, you would expect that to be the case. And I definitely think there's a lot of people that have moved to those locations. Maybe there is just a change in how consumers consume. Like the pub I was in, that was in my piece, there was maybe five of us in there, and I was the youngest, and I'm 43. So maybe just younger people just don't do that anymore. But I was speaking to Rebecca Harrison outside when I was waiting to come in, your previous guest.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that in her business, labour costs in the last 24 months or in the last 12 months are up 20%, and they're only going to continue to increase. So I mean, whatever way you look at it, even if there's more demand, I don't think there's a huge issue. I don't know what you're seeing, but I don't think there's a huge issue on the demand side. So I think revenues are holding up quite well. The problem is actually converting that into profits and EBITDA is the problem.
And you're going to be doing, I think, your next piece. I don't know if you've done it already, but you're basically going to map out a P&L of a rural business.
Four of them, actually.
Yeah, talk to me about that.
So I'm going to do, it won't be anyone's business, it'll be just composite that we'll gather together from multiple sources, but I'm going to do an indicative pub, an indicative convenience retail store, indicative pharmacy, and an indicative restaurant. And I'm going to start pre-COVID, map it all the way through, and then the increase in costs, I'm going to bring them out to 2026, because by the government's most recent paper, I don't know if you saw it, around the cost of doing business, they believe that for the standard hospitality business, the cost of labour will increase by 36.7% by 2026.
I saw that.
So it's really, really high. So what I want to do is I want to map all of that, bring it in, and then under a certain set of assumptions, what do those businesses look like in 2026?
And when can we expect to see that? Because I
better get cracking with it. Yeah. You're putting me under pressure.
So then to look at this with some form of optimism then, Stuart,
yes.
In terms of, we all know how special like a pub in a village in West Cork is. And you say to any American who comes to Ireland, what's the first thing you want to do? I want to go to one of those pubs that you talked about.
Absolutely.
But if we lose those, you know, if they close for whatever reason, we lose so much.
But Bobby, who's the next owner of that business?
Exactly.
Who'll buy that business? You know, so it's different if you've been in it and you're in your 60s, you're continuing to run it. But, you know, if you buy that business now, you're just buying a job.
Yeah.
You're not buying a business.
And
so who's the next owner?
So, but what's the answer to that question?
I really don't know. I really don't know. The pub that I worked in as a kid growing up is closing today. It's last day in Waterford City, so I'm calling in there for a pint when I get home. But like those, I think that pub trade is probably very, very difficult. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know who, and I think like you need economies of scale to make these businesses work. But I think the economies of scale piece, the big businesses will probably just ignore the small rural locations and they'll focus on the big urban centres. It makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know. I despair somewhat, but I like to be optimistic and I like to see the best in everything. But I really do despair when we think about it. Look, it's a great piece. We look forward to your next piece. Stuart Fitzgerald from Fitzgerald Power, strategy columnist with the Currency. Thanks for coming up all the way from Waterford to give us your thoughts. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11. On News Talk.